Hey there, soulmates. Taylor Schuler here, filling in for Stormy this week as she makes her big transition. So I'm here to chat with you about this full moon eclipse, this lunar eclipse that we have in Scorpio that is happening on May 5th at about 10:36 a.m. Mountain Time. And this is a big one. The moon is going to be in Scorpio. The sun is going to be in Taurus. And it's an eclipse. So that means that the sun is with the north node in this case, and the moon is with the south node. So what does that mean? And we're also going to get into what this means as a whole globally, but we'll also talk about what it means for you and your sign. So definitely stay tuned because I will be going through each sign so you can listen for your rising sign or your sun sign, or if you prefer to use your moon sign, you can listen to that a little bit later. So let's get into it. When the sun is in Taurus, especially folks who have this natally, the sun in Taurus really wants peace and serenity and simplicity, often wants silence, a ton of rest. And it's just that kind of sign that really needs to trust its instincts because all of that rest is about integration. It's about this creative integration that needs to take place because we might feel out of balance spiritually or emotionally. And so Taurus really likes food and rest and snacks and comfort. And sometimes Taurus likes those really luxurious experiences as well. The things that feel good, like with your hands and just like feel really good and feel really luxurious. So that's very Taurus, and it can be very physical. It's an earth sign, right? And it's the second sign in the zodiac. So it also asks us to think about where we were in Aries season or when the sun was in Aries and we figured out who we are. And then when we get into Taurus season, we're really asked, what are our values now that we know who we are? And what brings us meaning and what brings us purpose? And how do we really solidify that I am from Aries season into our values and kind of embody that and move forward? And so in Taurus season, we also see a pretty strong connection to nature and the earth and the environment and animals. And so we also might just want to listen to music or go to the spa or hang out with your pets and eat really good food and rest a lot. But it's also very important for Taurus to realize that change is a part of life. And consistency might be comfortable, but it's not realistic, right? And we also have to think about when we're needing that rest and we're wanting that material security, what is the trade-off? Right? How hard are we working? And are we evaluating how hard we're working for what we're getting at the end of the day so that we're not exhausted, so that we don't need rest because of exhaustion? And realizing that there is abundance everywhere and there's enough for all of us to go around, we can really care for ourselves and one another in a way where we have our needs met. And part of the reason that Taurus needs to get its needs met is what I mentioned before, that sort of spiritual and emotional journey that Taurus might go through. And so, in order to feel safe and secure enough to address the spiritual and emotional imbalance that we might sense, it's like, okay, I got to take care of my physical body. I got to take care of my physical self so that my spirit can do what it needs to do. Because if both the body, mind, and spirit, all of those things are out of whack, it's like, that's too much. That's out of whack. So let's make sure that we've at least got our body and our physical security needs met so that we can do the hard work when it comes to our spiritual development and our emotional maturity and the emotional work that we need to do. Right. So there's a lot about using all of these things to come together so that you can be true to yourself and you can be authentic to yourself, be true to your heart, and find true inner peace. And you'll also really want to make sure that you're letting yourself feel things if you're a Taurus. And when we're in Taurus season, right? No matter how dark or taboo it might be, as long as it is natural. So never silence your own dialogue and make sure that you are really honoring that authentic emotional connection to yourself and what you're perceiving and what you need. And this comes up especially with the polarity to the opposite sign, which is Scorpio. a water sign that's very emotionally based. And so the moon is going to be in Scorpio during this eclipse, and you really do want to feel all of those feelings, right? We're being asked with the moon on the south node what we need to let go of emotionally. What are those emotional feelings that have stayed stagnant? Both Taurus and Scorpio are what we call fixed signs, and fixed is what it sounds like, right? We're staying steady. We're keeping on doing the same thing. We're keeping things going as long as possible. We want to make sure we're in control and we're not letting go and things are not changing. But like I said, life changes. And so with the South Node and the moon together, the South Node asks us, what are we letting go of? What's no longer serving us? What's no longer supporting us? So what are those things that like that book, The Body Keeps the Score, you know, all those emotional things that we hold on to, that we don't let go of, they stay in our body. And that's what I was saying with Taurus, right? We got to make sure we're taking care of our bodies, that we go through the spiritual and emotional development. But if we're holding on to those emotions, they do get stuck in the body. And this is an opportunity for us to really work through it, think through it, feel it fully, in order to acknowledge it and let it go so that we can move on and we can change and we can grow and we can develop, right? The moon in Scorpio helps us to face the truth within us and the truth within others. And just look at reality, look what's beneath the surface. Look at the truth of other people's behavior, you know, be a detective, sort of like really feel into things like a snake with its belly on the ground, feeling every grain of sand and every rock and every vibration of the ground. And then allowing that snake skin to shed now that the moon is on the south node and allowing the letting go, right? So there may be some work, you know, if you have a therapist or something, this is like a great time to have that breakthrough moment with your therapist. Scorpio's very psychoanalyst vibes for sure. Now, Scorpio also really wants to be able to be its authentic self in a similar way to that sun in Taurus. It needs to be able to be totally raw and authentic and just like our naked selves in front of other people and feel heart to heart connected, be accepted for who we are fully. And also to be connected with the things that are invisible, right? If you have higher powers or angels or God or spirit or just the universe, the cosmos, nature. And so I think that if we can have some time alone, both Scorpio and Taurus really appreciate having that alone time to rest, we can do this self-reflection and also realize that if we're feeling things like we're feeling some hardship or discomfort at this point of time, it's not you necessarily that's a problem. Right now, it is just a difficult time for folks. Okay, the eclipse is happening at 14 degrees, 59 minutes, which is just 1 minute off of 15 degrees, which is what we call a world point when it's in the fixed sign. So when a planet or an angle or something is at 15 degrees of Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, or Aquarius, that's called a world point. And so this is something that's going to be felt really on a world scale. That's why I say it's not necessarily personal. This is just a difficult time for all of us. It's like, you know, that saying of, you know, smile at people and be kind to people because you never know who's going through a hard time. This is kind of like that. You never know the deep and painful journey that other people are going through. And so just be kind to yourself and be kind to others. But also at the same time, the sun in Taurus at 15 degrees, we can look at the Sabian symbol for that. And it is a man with a rakish silk hat, which is muffled against the cold, braves a storm, right? So just imagine a man with a hat and it's really cold out and he's braving a storm. It's uncomfortable to be in a storm, but it's not your fault that there's a storm and it's cold, right? And so we're being asked to show determination and confidence and hope for the future, but also show your true feelings. If it's cold out there, if it's stormy out there, like, it's okay. We'll get through it. You have to acknowledge what's going on in order to wear the hat and the coat and get the scarf to get through it. If you ignore that it's cold, it's not going to change the fact that it's cold out there, but you can do things to know that you're going to get through it and weather the storm. And now we can look at the Sabian symbol for the moon at 15 degrees of Scorpio. Actually, I'm looking at the Sabian symbol for 15, but that's actually for 14, since this eclipse is happening at 14 degrees and 59 minutes. So that Sabian symbol is children playing around five mounds of sand. And just feel into that, right? Kids on a beach or in a sandbox, just playing and being creative, and they're in their own imaginal worlds. And all of the potential that's in sand, you know, sand is earth, it is tangible, but at the same time, you know, you have to use water to make it, to build it into a castle, right? To build a sandcastle, you got to like get that stuff to make the structure whole so that it lasts, but then it can dissolve again. It allows us to like change, and it brings in that sense of change, also brings in a lot of imagination and potential. So with this symbol, what we're being invited to think about is how much potential we all have, that you have, for greater things, even if we don't know what those things are quite yet, right? It takes time and play, just like playing in a sandbox or on a beach with sand and building sandcastles, allows us to lean into that possibility, allows us to be creative. And so we're being asked to just be creative and play and be our authentic, lighthearted selves so that we can eventually get to that full potential and fulfill that potential for us. So another thing that a full moon invites us to do is really just, again, create integration and focus on the goal. What needs to fall away so that we can really focus on the facts and get things done? So if there's a decision that needs to be made, the full moon illuminates so that we can see things more fully. We can see the whole picture. Sometimes seeing everything at one time can feel like a lot. And that is why we can get that emotional feeling, that really like overwhelm or like just need to rest. And so I would really invite you at this time, if emotions are coming up for you or for loved ones or people in your community, hold space. Hold space for that. Be present, sit with it, honor it, process it. Because we really may feel an imbalance between our energy or our ego state and our emotions, or how we want to take action and the need for being empathic for ourselves. Or also, especially because Taurus is ruled by Venus and Scorpio is ruled by Mars in the traditional system. And so it does evoke this feeling of the masculine and feminine natures needing to come in. The masculine as in the assertive, the work that we do, the work that we put out there, and the feminine, or like the receptive or the yin energies of how we can just be and receive and be completely worthy. Now, if there is anything that comes up during this full moon where it feels like a disagreement or something like that, know that it comes up because there's this concept called the Hegelian dialectic, if you want to look that up. If you haven't heard of it before. And it really is just the idea of having an idea, having the opposite idea, and then synthesizing is the third step. And so that's what disagreement allows us to do. It says, you know, you have an idea. I don't agree with that idea. I think this, and then you can come together and have a conversation and really dialogue about it to come to a synthesis. And so that's what this masculine and feminine and any sort of oppositions of the sun and the moon can bring to us. And if there was at some point indecisiveness or lack of action, well, that's what a disagreement can help us to do. It can spur us on so that we actually take action and get towards decisiveness and resolution so that we have the energy and the focus and the drive to achieve our goals and actually move towards completion. Now, I just want to talk a little bit about these the planets that are involved in a full moon for just a moment, and I'll show the charts that you can see. So I've taken a number of planets out of this chart, so you're not going to see Saturn or Jupiter or Pluto or Neptune, because they're not so much, in my opinion, involved in this full moon eclipse. But we see the North Node, this upright horseshoe next to Mercury, the Sun, and Uranus. And so the North Node is where we're moving towards, but we might not have done that before. And Mercury is our communication. The sun is our vital energy, and Uranus is this sort of electrical energy and divine inspiration and things that we can't really predict that happen. And we've got Venus here in Gemini. We have Mars in Cancer, and we have the moon here with the South Node in Scorpio. And so I just wanted to take a moment to sort of talk about these planets from another perspective, right? What is an opportunity that these planets in these signs bring to us from the perspective that I bring to astrology, which is about how do we actually make the world a better place? And not just looking at sustainability, but going one step beyond sustainability towards what I would call regenerative, right? Which is a very Scorpio word, regenerative. Regenerating things. So not just sustaining the way a fixed sign might want to sustain and keep things going, but actually using that Scorpio and that earth and water energy that's very fertile to see that there is abundance, the ability to be like the phoenix that rises from the ashes and grows again and regenerates. So what we can use these planets for from that perspective, right? Because we don't just like, we can use astrology for ourselves, and that's really wonderful. But I really like to take it one step further and say, how can we use this to make the world a better place and lean into more regenerative ways of being and doing and working and living and thriving? So on a global scale, the sun in Taurus in this eclipse can help us to ask for transparency from our leaders in regards to our environment and food systems, as well as waste systems and chemicals, right? The chemical inputs that we put into things, whether that's pesticides or additives in our food or perfumes or pharmaceutical products. These are all things that may come up. Certainly oil spills and chemical disasters of that nature. We hope not, but that can be something that we should absolutely think about and talk about so that they don't happen. You don't talk about these things, and then, you know, how are we going to prevent them from happening? Now, the moon in Scorpio in this eclipse can help us call for regenerative and renewable practices that help us to beget an abundance of embodied healing. It can also ask us to think about what cyclical practices we can embody that help honor our individual needs beyond just basic human rights. So how are our resources and money and capital, how does all of that work and operate so that we are getting our material needs met and then we can have that emotional and spiritual development, right? So for a very simple example would be, how do we make sure that you have access to money to pay a therapist, right? That's very material with the money, but then the therapist is very emotional. So it is this connection on the Taurus and Scorpio axis between how do we actually have the money and the material things so that our emotional needs can get met. Now with Venus is in Gemini. And so we can use this energy. And I talk about Venus because Venus rules Taurus. So we're looking towards Venus to give us some answers. Venus can help us to share information about how we can be creative and how we can co-create solutions with other people that help enhance our lives and can be regenerative and fertile and beautiful and help us enjoy ourselves and our lives and each other, as well as the earth. And it can also help us think about approaches that center love and forgiveness and a high quality of life, and also help us get really creative or help us be co-creative to make practices that center respectful, equitable, and loving distribution of our resources. So how can you come together in community and have conversations about people who are in need and have needs and those needs aren't being met? And how can you share your resources in a way that makes everybody feel good and they get their needs met? And now we have Mars, which rules Scorpio. The invitation with Mars is to align our values with the current reality regarding protecting how we're able to care for ourselves, because Mars is in Cancer. It's very much about care and protection. So how are we able to care for ourselves and others, as well as traditions? It's a very Cancerian thing. So what are the traditions that are helpful and supportive of this? And how can we sort of cross-pollinate our ideas? Mars is like that sexy energy. And what does sexy energy do? It pollinates. So how can we cross-pollinate our ideas about radical care in order to activate and achieve any environmental goals that are related to how we're able to care and nurture and nourish ourselves and one another? Also, I think that what I was talking about that dialectic, that if there's an argument, because Mars can sometimes be about conflict. So how are we cross-pollinating with that dialogue that we're having, the idea, the opposing idea, and then the synthesis that comes together in order to respectfully promote whatever we need to do? And it's really connected to our dharma as well. So whether that's about how we're distributing resources or how we're caring for ourselves, or maybe just reevaluating the strategies. Mars is also strategic in many ways. So are we reevaluating the strategies that we used to use, and are they working or are they not working anymore? Do we need to pivot? How can we be very vulnerable too with Mars in Cancer? Sometimes Mars in Cancer can be a little bit defensive, and the invitation when we feel defensiveness is to really lean into vulnerability, which feels very scary, but it is the bravest and most courageous thing that we can do. And finally, almost finally, so Uranus asks us to harness whatever energy is coming our way to power our needs in radical new ways. And so how can we harness this energy, our collective energy or individual, and ideas that come to us, the inspiration that comes to us, or the psychic energy to empower these radical new ways of being and caring for one another? And now finally, Mercury can help us to think about the systems that are in place that allow us to share our ideas and educate one another and communicate with one another, and how we can stay connected with one another on a local and global scale. And also, what are those small little details that Mercury can help us with that help us mobilize any environmental efforts? Or what are some culturally relative practices that we could share? Or, what are some places and spaces for how we communicate or share mutual aid, and especially how we're communicating in non-violent manners, certainly. And I think the last thing that Mercury can help us do is really think about how we can share information and educate ourselves and one another on the economic models and channels that are available to distribute resources in radically new ways so that we can really care for one another. All right, so thank you for listening to all of that about the upcoming eclipse. And now I will get into the rising signs. So I will share my screen so that you can see what the chart looks like. So for Aries, the sun and the north node, they're going to be in your second house, and the moon and the south node are going to be in your eighth house. And so you're being asked to embody and let go of any emotional things that come up around other people's money or any psychological things that are maybe bothering us, and any outdated beliefs that you might have about astrology or other esoteric practices, so that you can move more towards embodying and feeling more vital energy and shining in ways that you feel well resourced. And they might be in new ways that you haven't done before. So that you can increase your confidence. And you can do this through talking with friends and neighbors with Venus in Gemini, as well as hopefully this might help resolve any issues that you might have had or irritations around your home. Like if you've had any home repairs or things like that, or thinking about moving, hopefully those things can be resolved. Now, let's look now at the next sign, which is going to be Taurus. So Let's just move this ahead about an hour. So for Taurus, this eclipse is happening in your first and seventh house. So you're being asked to let go of any emotions that may be coming up with your spouse, or maybe your spouse is needing to let go of some emotions that are coming up about important partnerships. It could be your partnership or a business partnership or another really important relationship, so that you can shine, your personality can shine, and you are sort of becoming a new you in radically new ways. And you're starting to put words to this. And so you're also being asked to really talk about your values and how you are well-resourced. And I'm hoping that you're feeling more beautiful and feeling more confident in all the ways that are most important to you, and that this is also helping you to resolve potentially any issues that you have with siblings or just things in your mind that might have been irritating recently and felt like they weren't really nourishing you in all the ways that you want. Now, Gemini and Gemini rising or Gemini moon, this eclipse is happening in your 12th and sixth houses. So you're being asked to let go of any negative emotions that you may have that come up with coworkers or pets, any emotional attachments or ways that you're embodying things that you don't want to embody anymore around those topics. So pets, your coworkers, and any issues around health that you're just ready to let go of and move on. So if there's anything that's been kind of difficult with your health recently, I think you might be asked to really address how your emotional state may be connected to any of that. How are you feeling about all of that? And what would you like to let go of so that you can move more towards really shedding light on some of those habits that aren't helpful for us, that don't serve us in the 12th house, and becoming more aware of what those are in radically new ways, talking about it, finding some partners to help you, so that you are sort of with this Venus in your first house, showing up in beautiful new ways and being a good friend to yourself and being a good friend to others and really being a person who is talking in lovely ways to yourself and to others. And hopefully, if there were any issues that were brought up around money or your self-worth or self-confidence, this eclipse is inviting you to address that and resolve and heal that. Now, Cancer rising, this eclipse is happening in your 11th and 5th houses. So the invitation is to let go of any emotions or ways that you have been embodying, that just like the not so desirable things, like with your kids. Has there been something that's been difficult if you have children, or maybe any creative blocks that you've had? Perhaps the emotional processing that you do. Get some paint out. What's your creativity? Do you like to sing? What is the creative thing that you do that can help you to process your emotions, or just being around kids? Would that be helpful for you in this emotional processing so that you can let go? Sometimes I see this with folks who are in that age range where their children are going to college and they're becoming empty nesters, and so they're having to process these feelings now of feeling like the kids are gone and what do I do? And that can be really difficult. And so you're being asked to let go of this so that you can move more towards friendships, communities, philanthropic causes and organizations, and thinking about what your personal hopes and dreams and great aspirations are so that you can make the world a better place and leave your mark and leave an imprint. Hopefully, any work that you've done around healing, perhaps meditating, a retreat, and just bringing some healing, maybe some friends in who've been supporting you with any habits that aren't helpful for you, or maybe helping you do the behind the scenes work that you need to do. All of that can be helpful in resolving this. And then with Mars in the first house, I feel like what's going on is you're really being asked to take action, anything that's been irritating for you. Hopefully, in the next couple of weeks, that will move on when Mars moves into Leo. But how you're showing up in the world, you're showing up as someone who's like ready to take action and ready to go and ready to move, and think you're ready to move on your new hopes and dreams. And that is a beautiful thing. Now, Leo. This eclipse is happening in your 10th and 4th house. And this is one of my favorite places for eclipses to happen because it is just something that you can feel. And so you might be moving. Literally, it could just be that you're moving because one of the things with the moon is not just our emotions and our bodies and how what we say and communicate, but it can also be the home and it's happening in your 4th house. So are you selling a house? Are you moving? Are you letting go? Are you letting go of emotional attachments there? Or does it have to do with your family of origin, other real estate, or maybe your ancestors? Is there ancestral work that you can do? Can you call in your ancestors to support you in order to let go of anything that no longer serves you so that you can move towards embodying your legacy and showing up in the world in a really beautiful new way? Is there a new job? Is there a new title? Not only, you know, I can see this 4th and 10th happen if it's related to your job or your family. Sometimes these changes happen because we're in a new relationship on the 1st and 7th house axis as well. So did you get married recently, for example, or something like that? Or did your relationship status change and that's what's causing these changes in your public life and your title, which can be professional? Or it can just be like, I'm an MRS or I'm a mister now, you know? And so hopefully you're getting a little help from your friends. You're feeling really a lot of beautiful energy around your hopes and dreams. And you're being asked to take action on any habits that are not helpful for you. And this is really beautiful energy for really like going to a beach and doing a yoga retreat or something like that with Mars in the 12th house. Now, Virgo rising, these eclipses are happening in your, well, this eclipse, it's just one, it's happening in your 3rd and 9th house. So you're being asked to let go of things that you used to say or feel that aren't helpful, or maybe something emotional is coming up with your siblings or your neighbors, your neighborhood, or the way that you talk to yourself. What do you need to let go of there so that you can move more towards embodying your philosophies that are important to you and sharing them with the world? So publishing, literally putting the word out into the world, or are you traveling? Do you need to go travel somewhere? Are you involved in higher education? Are you have a podcast? You have a YouTube? You have a book that you're writing? Is there something legal? Is there a legal thing that you're involved in right now? So it's about communicating with yourself and communicating with others and the philosophies that are important to you. And this is supposed to be in service of resolving any issues with your friends and your hopes and your dreams and the way that they're changing so that you can really show up in the world and look at your legacy, what you want your legacy and your how you're showing up in terms of like your career or your public life in more beautiful ways that are aligned with your values. Libra and Libra rising, these eclipses are happening in your 2nd and 8th house, so the opposite to Aries. And that means that you're being asked to let go of any emotions that are holding you back from being as confident as you want to be, or letting go of any material things that are too expensive, maybe, that you just like literally just can't afford it anymore. I got to let go of some stuff. I'm going to do the Marie Kondoing, so that you can move towards addressing anything that may be coming up around debt and anything that sort of just needs some cleaning up and cleaning out and reaccounting. And I think that if you have a good partner in either a therapist or an accountant or an astrologer, that can be really helpful for you in resolving things. You may find friends from foreign places. You may find friends from, you know, if you do church, or you may find like an attorney friend or a professor friend, or you may find friends in like the things that you're publishing or because of what you're publishing and putting out into the world, like a book or a podcast or YouTube or a website or a blog or something like that. So that the ways that you are changing and taking action on how you show up publicly can be resolved and change. And now Scorpio, this is happening in your 1st and 7th house, which is opposite to forest, and you're being asked to let go of essentially any emotions or anything that you're embodying. So, because you need to become a new you, like you literally are the phoenix rising from the ashes here, so that any part of your personality or how you're showing up in the world that you need to let go of can be new and renewed, so that you can now move into greater relationship in ways that are healthy and revitalize you. And you may see that maybe your partner needs more attention right now, that there are some changes going on with your partner and you're feeling like, hey, am I stagnant or are you stagnant, right? Like sometimes when we're in partnership with other people, like especially our spouses or close business partners, we can feel like we're growing and changing at different rates and for different reasons and in different seasons. And so if that's going on for you, I think that you can find help in making sure that you're using this Venus in Gemini to talk with folks that can support you, counselors, advisors, whatnot. Really be kind to yourself and your mind, and think about if there are resources from others that are supporting you, whether that is an inheritance, a loan, or a mortgage, or a credit card, or something like that. Like, what's the story there? And then how is the energy around wanting to take action to travel or change your philosophies? Or is there a legal thing? Is that what's going on? Is there like a legal thing with your spouse that's going on? And that's why there's some changes that you can't really predict that are going on, and that's impacting you. So that may be the story for you, Scorpio, and this eclipse. And now Sagittarius, this eclipse is happening in your 12th and 6th houses, opposite to what was happening with Gemini. So what are some of the habits that you have that you might be unconscious of that you're being asked to let go of, so that you can really understand what issues are emotional and what issues are physical that you can address and take care of? And in what ways are your coworkers and your pets supportive of you? Do you need to take some time off work? Are you feeling burned out? How can you rely on these other people and know that they're there to support you so that you can do the work that you need to do on yourself to heal? Capricorn, this eclipse is happening in your 11th and 5th house, opposite to what was going on with Cancer. So what are the emotions that are coming up around your hopes, dreams, friends, groups of people, your ideas about how to leave the world a better place that you're ready to let go of, so that you can move more towards being creative, playful, innocent, have fun, spend more time with your children or grandchildren, and take risks and bring more fun and play and romance and maybe some risk into your life, like responsible but fun, random risk into your life. And hopefully this helps to resolve any issues that you, or not resolve any issues, but maybe a helper here is like your pets or your coworkers, and things that may be going well with your physical health, or any resolution around any physical health things that may have come up for you. And how are you being asked to take action in relationship with your significant other or your business partner? And how is any changes that are going on there part of this story, so that you can have fun with friends, you can have fun romantically, you feel good physically, and you are actively taking action to change anything that's going on in your relationship status for the better. Aquarius, again, one of my favorites, the eclipses in the 10th and the 4th house. So this is opposite to what we're talking about with Leo. So what emotions are you feeling? What ways have you been embodying things in your career that you're ready to let go of? Are you ready to move on from your job? And if it's not quite yet, sometimes it's not exactly when the eclipse happens, but it's sort of like that first conversation or feeling of like, yeah, this is not for me anymore. And whether it's a couple days, weeks, months, or years, like you kind of know you're ready to let this part of your career go. You had these goals that you had set for yourself around what you wanted your legacy and impact to be. And it's just like, nope, I'm ready to pivot, so that you can spend more time at home or spend more time caring for your family, maybe your parents, or doing ancestral research or reclaiming things that are from your family of origin, or maybe because you're moving, you are ready to like change your job and get a new job because you're moving, right? And maybe you're moving because something really beautiful happened with your children, like they're having children and you're becoming a grandparent, for example. Or maybe there's something around your pets or your coworkers or your health that has just asked you to take action in new ways. And so that's what's going on. And that's what the story is here. And finally, my favorite, Pisces rising. And I only say that because I'm a Pisces rising. So I never like to say save the best for last, but you know, I feel bad. We're always the last Pisces, right? So, but that's okay. So this eclipse is happening in your third and ninth house. And so what are you being asked to let go of emotionally around old philosophies or old teachers, or maybe any legal issues going on, or any feelings that you had about traveling abroad or anything like that? What are you letting go of? Or maybe it's letting go of emotional attachment to that book that you wanted to write, or that podcast, or that thing that you were publishing and the blog and putting out into the world, so that you can talk nice to yourself, so that you can have a better relationship with your siblings, so that you are, you know, showing up in your neighborhood in new ways that are feeling good to you, so that you are going back into your memory and really just being kind to yourself about where you've been, and you're thinking about your daily rituals in new ways, so that, you know, if you're taking action in romance, maybe you're wanting to like date, and that's why you've got to let go of this blog idea that you had, because you're wanting to take action in your romantic life or your creative life or something around your children where you're being asked to change and take action. And hopefully that can help you feel really good when you're at home, or maybe your relationship with your parents or your family of origin or your ancestors is really helping with that as well. So that is the forecast and the horoscopes for all 12 signs for the lunar full moon eclipse that is going to be in Scorpio on May 5th. So stay well, be well, stay safe out there, have a good time. Know that anything that comes up is for your greatest and highest good, and let me know how it goes. I would love to stay connected with you. I have a new community called Thrive. So you can go to Taylor Schuler, which is TAYLORSHULER.com/thrive, and join my new community where I do rising sign horoscopes. We talk about how to make the world a better place. We talk about how to really use the astrology in practical ways so we can move past our challenges. And I also talk about, you know, if you're burned out and you're thinking about starting a business, come on over and I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you figure out your next step in your journey. So thank you, soulmates. Thank you, Stormy, for giving me this opportunity to do this forecast. I hope you all stay well, and I'll see you again soon sometime. Bye for now.